Friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Some years ago, I was on a study trip with the Augsburg University Board of Regents to Nicaragua, where Augsburg has a fine study program in Managua. One of the regents on the board is the CEO of Lutheran Social Service of Minnesota. On the last night of our time together, we debriefed our learnings and how we were feeling about that trip. And this LSS CEO said that she had been privileged to travel much of the world and had thought that she had seen some of the poorest parts of the world until she had come to Nicaragua and saw how desperately people were scraping for the basic necessities of life. One of the days that we spent together, we got on our little bus and we went out into the countryside to visit what we might call peasants, the people who try to farm, the tradespeople. I was excited to see on the itinerary that there was a carpenter, since I do a little woodworking myself. When we got off at the carpenter's place, there was a small table set with some bracelets, some little trinkets, knickknacks that one could buy. Through a translator, I had a wonderful conversation with the man, finally leading up to my asking, with the good work that I see that you do, do you build furniture for other people? He said, oh, no. He explained that that would take too much wood. And in Nicaragua, it is illegal to cut down trees or to cut wood because so much of the land has been deforested. The reason he made such little things for sale was to make his pile of wood last as long as it possibly could. So through the translator, I asked, well, how much wood do you have? And on a halfway wall in his shop, he pointed to a little pile of wood, a pile twice or three times the size that I burn every winter in my fireplace decoratively, just so that I can hear the crackling flames and see the dancing of the light. I said, how long do you think that pile is going to last you? He said, if he were careful, maybe it would last 18 months. Well, what are you going to do after the pile runs out? With a grim smile, he looked at me and said, Dios proveerá. God will provide. When I read our gospel lesson today from Luke about Lazarus, I think of this poor Nicaraguan carpenter. With some guilt, I think about myself when I read about the rich man who had all that he wanted and more. You know, I can go on Craigslist any day of the year and find reasonably priced wood that will be delivered right to my door. Wood that I don't necessarily need, and the carpenter does. I'm sure that carpenter would be thrilled to get the scraps that I cut up for kindling to start my fires. He would be thrilled with the wood from any one new house built in southeastern Minnesota. The wasted wood which fills dumpsters that will go to incinerators or to landfills. Lutheran preachers very often have difficulty with the gospel readings that are assigned for Lent. Lutheran preachers, for the most part, like to concentrate on God's love and grace. We like to lift up life and forgiveness. But the gospel texts in Lent, for the most part, focus on our need for repentance, for a change of life. It points out the great chasm between where we are and where God would like us to be. They are calls to action. There is no question about the call to action in today's gospel reading from Luke. Was it hard for the rich man to ignore that poor fellow lying at his gate covered with sores? As he walked by with his royal purple-colored linen, could he not see this one dressed in rags covered with sores? As he ate one more fine meal behind the safety of his gated house, did he not ever think of the one who would be grateful just for the scraps from that meal? There are many African American spirituals that point to the next kingdom. Not this life, but their hopes for the next life. Think of it for a minute. If your life is relegated to forced servitude and very little joy, you'd just soon escape this life to go and be in the love of Jesus. Yes? Some of those spirituals lift up our lesson for today, Lazarus and the rich man. Rock my soul in the bosom of Abraham. Rock my soul in the bosom of Abraham. Rock my soul in the bosom of Abraham. Oh, rock my soul. And the song goes on to talk about going home to be with Abraham, just like Lazarus. Home is not the slave quarters. Home is not the mansion on the plantation where some are forced to serve. Home is going to be with Abraham and also with Jesus. Jester Hairston has written one of those spirituals called Poor Man Lazarus. It traces the story of Lazarus, the short story in the Bible, starting with him just begging for crumbs from the master's table, and finally going to be redeemed and praising God. But the tagline that's repeated over and over in the song comes directly from the Bible and from the rich man's lips. Dip your finger in the water, come and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented by these flames, for I'm tormented by these flames. These spirituals tell biblical truths. They may be truths that are uncomfortable for those who have plenty to eat, more clothes than we can wear, more rooms that we need in which to live. A man came to Bethel hoping for some help this past week. We sat down and we were not many sentences into our visit when he said, I've been living in my car, sleeping there every night for the past 6 months. I don't need to remind you what the past 6 months have been like in this place. He broke down in tears and he said, I don't know how much longer I can do this. There are all kinds of causes for homelessness in our community and beyond. We can lift up all the county programs that are designed to help people out of homelessness. We can point to all the help wanted signs in every business that display them in Rochester. But the fact is, we still have Lazarus lying at our gate, hoping for the scraps from the rich man's table. Two women came to see me at the same time last week, hoping for some help from Bethel. They are friends. One lives in Stuartville in a small apartment with her three children, the oldest 18, and to graduate from Stuartville this spring. The other lives in Rochester in housing and survives on $200 a month. We talked for quite a long while about their lives, about the joys in their lives, about the challenges they face. Twice, once in that conversation and once as they were about to leave, one of the women thanked for the conversation, for the time that we spent together, because she was just recognized as a human being. Both women were thrilled with the limited help that Bethel was able to offer. A man called me this week wanting to know of our progress on the Bihar, India project. Twice in that conversation, he said that he was just like a little kid and he couldn't wait for any information that might come out over our electronic communications or through printed communications on the weekends. He just wanted to know how we are doing because he considers this Bihar project to be the most worthy one he has ever seen in the church, and he has done significant research on that project. He wanted me to know that his gift was going to put us at our goal or over our goal. This man has seen Lazarus, but Lazarus is a woman in India who is forced to stay home while her husband goes off to the big city hoping to earn a few dollars. Staying home and raising a family, trying to feed that family on meager resources that keep them in abject poverty. But through Lutheran World Relief, she now has access to information, to training, to some materials that will enable her to raise crops that will not only feed her family in a healthy way, but there will also be some left over, so there is a bit of an income, and she can send her kids to school. She is not content at just receiving crumbs off the rich man's table. She wants to be proud in supporting her family and beyond. We as the people of God are called to recognize Lazarus at our door. I know that this gospel reading and this sermon sound like we can earn our way into the bosom of Abraham if we are just kind enough. Sounds like every poor person is going to be whisked off by the angels to enjoy the riches of heaven. And for those who have had plenty to eat and enjoy crackling fireplaces, well, we might be just hoping for a drop of water to cool our tongue in the agony of the flames. It is clear in the Gospel of Luke that Jesus has a preference for helping the poor. Luke just expects that if the gospel is rightly heard, the people of God will appropriately react. My household does not need wood to burn in a fireplace. Our Nicaraguan carpenter needs that wood for his livelihood. If we have seen that need and we do not react, have we heard the call of the gospel? We ignore Lazarus at our door to our own peril. In the parable Jesus tells, the rich man is told that Moses and the prophets have been very clear about the care for all of God's people. They don't need someone who has come back from the dead to offer that word. Here's where we have a great advantage. You see, we still have the very clear words of Moses and the prophets. We have the words of Jesus as he walked this earth. And probably most important, we have the words of one who has come back from the dead with his radical message of love and grace, a radical call to action in love. Amen. Hymn 775, please rise.